Well, it's that time of the year again, when especially we give credence to the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember his coming in humility, to die for our sins, to be raised that we might live with him. Now we also look forward to his second coming, which surely is not far away. You're listening to the Back to the Bible broadcast. I'm your friend Theodore Epp. And today, because you've been praying, because you've been giving, because you've been making this broadcast possible, I need to share a letter or two with you. These are just a few that have been picked out of the hundreds and thousands that we do receive. Here's one from the state of Pennsylvania. I read, I became a Christian almost 12 years ago as a result of your invitation to accept Christ as my Savior. I was 8 years old at that time. There was only one problem. I had no intention of letting others know. But your program and the Young Ambassador was a constant reminder that others needed to know. Since that time, I have returned myself and my future over to the Lord. You prayed, friends. God answered. Here's another one. You maybe prayed for this and maybe didn't even know about it, who you were praying for, but you joined with us in this from Michigan. I wrote you several years ago asking for prayer for my son, who was then a hippie and taking drugs. Not only did you pray, but you also sent me some counsel concerning this problem. I would like for you to know that the Lord answered those prayers for my son not long after I wrote to you. He rededicated his life to the Lord, went to college, graduated, married, and he and his wife are active in a Bible-believing church, and their children have become Christians also. Thank you all for your loving concern and your prayer. Well, may I read one more? This one from Kentucky. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your book, entitled Walking Daily with God. I lost a year's work, and my attitude was very bad. I was in a pit and just could not recover. Didn't care for anything. Lost all my love for everybody, including my wife, the church, and friends. But thank God, I picked up your book. I took your suggestion about reading and meditating on Psalm 51. I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and started to read the psalm and continue to do so every day. It has changed my life, and I praise God, and I thank you too. Well, we thank you, my friends, for praying with us. May we hear from you also? Our mailing address is Back to the Bible Broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic chorus proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Glory to fix in us thy humble home. Rise thou woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface, stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
My friends, shall we pray that the Lord will open our hearts that he may find room there to plant his word today. Our God, we belong to thee. This is thy precious word. We want it to sink in deep, bring forth fruit that shall bring forth responsibility, and also, Lord, that will cause others to know thee. Just open our eyes and our minds to behold truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're in the book of Proverbs now, and we're discussing some of the words that are used so that we might be acquainted with them, as we'll find them all through the book. We've already discussed with you such words as wisdom and so on, Today I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about knowledge. Let me read to you from the fourth verse on of the first chapter. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their sayings, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Two words that you'll constantly run up against, and we need to know and acknowledge the difference between the two, and yet we'll find that they're almost like twin words. They are the word knowledge and wisdom. I want to do a little contrasting between the two so that we'll understand the difference. And yet, he says here in one place that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In the 9th chapter and 10th verse, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, is that a contradiction? Oh, no. I say the two words are almost like twin words. They have very much in common, and yet they have some things that they're not in common. Knowledge is the basic fact and truth, information that is accurate and dependable and of a sound character. Now we're talking about the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Proverbs that he's giving forth to us. So you see, he's talking first then about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Before you can even know things on which you can base wisdom, you have to fear the Lord. Then the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom after that. Now wisdom is you making use of the facts in a practical way. Now there's the difference. Knowledge is the basic fact and the truth or information that is accurate and dependable and so on. Wisdom is making use of those facts in a practical way. Now one may learn and gather information, but it is not wisdom until it is put into action in a practical way. That's where we contrast the difference between what we call heart knowledge and head knowledge. One may get the doctrine straight, but lack wisdom on how to apply it to practical use. Some folks I know have such a wonderful knowledge of doctrine that they want to contend for the faith, but they misread that word and they may become contentious for the faith. That's what will happen when it's only knowledge. When we do not apply for wisdom in order to apply that knowledge. Systematic theology is a very good thing and a very necessary thing, but it's only dead knowledge until one can apply it to some practical use. Job, for instance, made this statement. Job knew much about God, and he did much for God, and God called him a good man. But Job had some problems, and his problem was right here. But when he came to the end of the conversations that God had with him, that his friends had with him, he came to this statement in the 42nd chapter, verse 5, I have heard of thee with the hearing of mine ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now notice what he said. I've heard of thee. I knew so many things about you, God, but now I have an intimate knowledge of you. He had knowledge without wisdom, but now God has added to him wisdom, how he might apply this knowledge of God to practical use. Paul speaks of it in the 3rd chapter of the book of Philippians. Let me read several verses to you. Verse 8, for instance. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. First of all, he says now, I want to know Christ. Know him as your personal Savior, yes, but far beyond that. In the 10th verse, he follows right through in the same context when he says, that I might know him. Now, what does he mean? Well, there is such a thing as knowing God and knowing God. I'll come back to that in a minute. Now, ignorance is something that is the other side of the coin of knowledge. In several passages of Scripture, like 1 Corinthians 10:1, 12:1, 2 Corinthians 2:11, I won't read them, but there he says, "Brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And many other places he uses that same language. "I would not have you ignorant." In other words, first comes knowledge. Now, as darkness is the absence of light, so ignorance is the absence of knowledge. Let me give you the illustration that Paul gave us in Romans, the 10th chapter, concerning his people, the Israelites, a chosen people of God. But listen to what he said about them. Romans 10, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness." Does that happen to say something to somebody that's listening to me? You're trying to establish your own righteousness before God, and ignorant of the fact that God has a righteousness, and that's the only righteousness that will count? That's what he says here. For he says, establishing their own righteousness, not having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the righteousness, of the law of righteousness for everyone that believeth. There's your illustration. Well, Jesus says in Romans, or in John 14:7, it's recorded, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So, knowing him. Now, men seek knowledge only to miss it when they leave God out of it. The world today, science today, they're seeking for knowledge, and they have a certain type of knowledge and a lot of knowledge. And science so-called versus with science true, there's a world of difference. Why? Because one acknowledges God and one leaves out God. That's all the difference in the world. Evolution will not recognize God. Therefore, it is not science. It is guesswork. But the true scientist will find that his knowledge will start with the fear of the Lord. Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Listen to Peter as he describes this situation in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, beginning with verse 3. "Knowing this first, that there will come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since their fathers have fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." And now note his indictment. "For this they willingly are ignorant of." They didn't have to be. The knowledge is there. God has given them the instructions. It's all there. They didn't have to be, but they willingly are ignorant that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. They are people that will deny the great flood and say, oh, that was just a local thing, and so on and so on. And that's what he says. They're willingly ignorant of the fact. If they want to know the truth, they can know the truth. But he says, "The heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store or reserved unto fire for the last day." God's going to speak one of these days again. He spoke with water once upon a time and judged the world. And it's very clear. Science will prove it. Science will back it up. I'm talking about science that is science, not science so-called. Well, knowledge brings with it, as we read in the 4th verse, subtlety. Now, we're afraid of that word, and I don't blame you, because the first time it appears is in the 3rd chapter of the book of Genesis in the 1st verse, "And the serpent was more subtle than all the animals." So at once we connect a bad connotation with that word. But really, the word subtle is not a bad word. What it simply means is Let me read this verse. To give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. Subtlety to the simple. This simply means shrewd, in a positive, good sense. Not in the low level of shrewdness and scheming, as we found even Jacob doing, but that means to be discreet, far-sighted, sensible, prudence. To make the simple-minded, he says, and the naive, wise. That's what he's giving them subtlety for. To give subtlety to the simple, that is a safeguard against being misled. A prudent man, a subtle man, in other words, foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, says Proverbs 22:3. Here is shrewdness, subtlety, in the good sense. As I said, the serpent was subtle and shrewd in the bad sense, and he used it to trick Eve. But here we find the word discretion coming next. Means thoughtfulness, a characteristic often lacking in young persons who he is especially, of course, addressing in this chapter. Thus, Proverbs gives caution or discernment which sets a man on his guard and prevents him from being duped by others. It means common sense, that is, the act of thinking things through. Well, in the fifth verse he presents, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. Another word. And we'll have to take up there on our broadcast tomorrow as we continue on this subject.
Story that never grows old, its tidings of joy repeat. The Savior is come by the prophets foretold to Bethlehem's quiet street. The miracle star shines in splendor above. The stable so dingy and worn, so humble a cradle for one who is love, and there Jesus Christ is born. The world is so dull and the world is so dead, with
we have been looking at the book of Proverbs, and I want to paraphrase a part of that for you to help you as you look into it in more depth. Read again the first seven verses of the first chapter of the book of Proverbs for tomorrow's lesson. It says he wrote them to teach his people how to live, how to act in every circumstance, for he wanted them to be understanding, just and fair in everything he did. I want to make the simple-minded wise, he says. I want to warn young men about some problems that they're going to face. I want those already wise to become wiser and become leaders by exploring the depth of the meaning of these nuggets of truth. Well, study together with us again and pray for us. And my friends, many of you have not written of late. We'd like to hear from you, and we need to hear before the end of the year. Why not write to us then at the Back to the Bible broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501. I'm Theodore Epp, saying goodbye, and I leave this proverb with you. if you try to improve one person by being yourself a good example, you are improving two.
More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee.
I invite you to join us daily on this station for Back to the Bible. On tomorrow's program, Theodore Epp will bring another message in his current series of studies. I hope you'll join us. This program was produced in the studios of Back to the Bible.